everyone. We are blessed this morning. Amen. We have been covering off on the subject of evangelism the last month or so, and we officially ended that series last week. So this is overtime. All right, for all you sports fans, this is overtime. And it's kind of coming from a little bit of a different angle. In case you're wondering, I wrote the stuff here on the board. Thank you. I'm working on my penmanship. I've been doing so for 30 plus years, but that's me. So this morning we're talking about how to stay by the stuff. How to stay by the stuff. And our pastor Jim used to always say that some go, some send, and some stay by the stuff. And the point there is that as you read through the Gospels, some believers have a hard time connecting what's going on. They see Jesus traveling from city to city, region to region, and they say, I'm not doing that. I'm not traveling anywhere. I'm not going to Botswana. I'm not going to Mexico. I'm not going to South America. I'm not going to China. Wherever it is, I'm at home doing the dishes. Okay? I'm watching my kids. Trying to get these weeds out the yard, you know. I'm in aisle 4 at HEB. You know, you got this person over here winning the lost, ministering to dozens, hundreds, thousands of people, and I'm in aisle 4 of HEB. So what am I doing? I'm not worth anything. I'm just here at home. And so when you read Paul's letters, you see him traveling from region to region. It's all right. It's all right. We see Paul traveling from region to region, and he's talking about his travels. He's talking about the things that he goes through, the things that he deals with, and sometimes believers have a hard time relating to that because I'm not on a ship. I've never been shipwrecked. I'm at home. So there are some that go, and then there are some that send who go, and there are some that stay by the stuff as well. And so this morning we're talking about how to stay by the stuff well, you know, and also realizing that go doesn't necessarily always mean traveling to a different region. It means go. We all have the commandment to go, but some of us are just going to our spheres of influence. Okay, so we're all called to go, but we all may not, you know, travel. This morning, as I was getting ready to minister, Holly, my wife, was doing a lot of stuff. She was getting the girls ready. It's, you know, can be challenging when you have not only one child, but a small child, and not only one small child, but two small children, and not only two small children, but two small children that are close in age, and not only two small children that are close in age, but two small children that are close in age that are the same gender. So Holly was tending to them this morning, and there's a lot of tending, a lot of details that can go into that. And Holly does a lot. I am up here many times ministering, sharing, or in youth ministry, and there's a lot that Holly does that most people will never see that allows me to do what I do. And she's very involved at the school that our kids go to. She's the room mom. And so she's there praying and ministering and being a light. But no one would ever see that. You just see me. Well, I represent her. Right. And so when I'm up here, she's up here, too, because those who allow people to go have a part in the fruit that's reaped in the people that are blessed. So when we send Kempo, everything that God does through him, we get to have a part in what God is doing. And the people that are being blessed and the lives that are being changed. So some go, some send, some stay by the stuff. Let's take a look at a couple of scriptures here. Mark chapter 5, verse 18. As he was getting into the boat, the man who had been demon possessed was imploring him that he might accompany him. So this is a man that Jesus had set free, and now this man wants to go and travel with Jesus. Let's look at Jesus' response. You would think that Jesus would say, come on, we need as many people as we can get. But it says in verse 19, Jesus did not let him travel. Jesus didn't let him go. He says, go home. And as a matter of fact, for this man to try and go would be in violation to the word of God. For this man to try to travel and go when he hadn't been sent would be a violation of the word of God. Because Jesus tells him, go home to your people. Now, your people is your sphere of influence. And this is something that God is telling some of us. Go to your sphere of influence and report to them. So how do we stay by the stuff? There are five things that we're going to cover off on, right? But I'll just hop into them real quick. Prayer, work, give, share, and take care of the church and the people. Okay, if you're staying by the stuff, you need to be involved in one or all of these. Okay, in order to do that well. If you're not the one traveling, if you're not the one going, then you need to be invested in these areas right here. So Jesus says, go home to your people and what? Share. Share the good news, not necessarily traveling, but in your sphere of influence. So go home to your people and report to them. I know you want to come with me. I know you want to go to Mexico. I know you want to go to China. I know you want to go to Botswana. I know you want to go, but God may not send all of us to these places. He may send some of us, but he may not send all of us. So then what are we to do? He says, go home. Go to your sphere of influence over on these walls, this wall over here, and share there. Report there all the great things the Lord has done for you. So the fact that we aren't traveling doesn't exempt us from sharing our faith, doesn't exempt us from being a light that shines in the darkness. It doesn't exempt us from going out, but we're just in a limited geographical range. We aren't traveling, so to speak. We aren't traveling long distances. We are at home base. If we're not traveling out there, we're at home base. Brad Fluke, he may be out there. He's traveling, but then he comes to home base sometimes, right? And so home base has to be there for him to come back to. Amen. To get built up and to get refreshed, okay? So he says, go home to your people and report to them what great things the Lord has done for you and how he had mercy on you, all right? So go home. If you're by the stuff, make sure that you are sharing the great things the Lord has done for you with your sphere of influence locally. Okay. Let's talk about staying a little bit. How to stay by the stuff. Go to Philemon. Chapter 1 in verse 22. Chapter 1, verse 22. And this is Paul talking. And he is, if you read Paul's letters and you're wondering where your life fits in, because of the just practical stuff that you were doing on a day-to-day basis, most of the last chapters of Paul's letters have to do with very administrative-focused stuff. And there are some interesting insights that are in those last chapters, if you stop and take a look at them. But he says in verse 22, at the same time, also prepare me a lodging, for I hope that through your prayers I will be given to you. So he is telling the church, he says, prepare a place for me so that when I come home, this would fall under taking care of the church, so that when I come to you, there is a place for me to stay. So whenever we have visiting ministers come in, we may have a situation where somebody needs somewhere to stay. Now, whether the church itself owns a ministry house or they're staying at someone else's house, you are at home base covering that and making sure that that house, that lodging is peaceful, that that person has everything that they need. So he says, prepare for me a lodging because I hope to come to you. Okay, so you are staying at home by the stuff. You are taking care of the church. All right, turn to Titus chapter 1, verse 5. So Paul tells Titus, he says, for this reason I left you. Somebody says he left him. He didn't let him go with him. He left them there. Stay here. Okay? He says, for this reason I left you in Crete, that you would set in order what remains. Okay, so if you're staying by the stuff and God says stay here, some of us will need to be setting in order the things in the church. Okay, and it says, and appoint elders in every city as I directed you. Okay, so he says stay here, and here's your assignment when you stay here. The question is, are you fulfilling your assignment wherever God tells you to stay when you stay by the stuff? 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 19. It says, greet Prisca and Aquila in the household of Onesiphorus. And then it says, Erastus remained at Corinth. He stayed there. But Trophimus I left sick at Miletus. So he says, I left people in different places. And he speaks of a man that he left in a certain city, and he was sick when he left. My question is this: who was taking care of the sick man? If Paul left them there, somebody had to take care of him. And so that there are needs locally that have to be taken care of, and who's going to take care of them? The person that's going can't take care of them. So it's those who stay by the stuff that have to take care of those local needs. First Timothy chapter 1, verse 3. And we're going to take a look at, we're going to do a lot of flipping, take a look at a lot of scriptures, and hopefully go pretty quick. Paul tells Timothy, 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 3, Paul tells Timothy, as I urged you upon my departure for Macedonia, what does it say? Remain. Stay there. Don't go. Stay there. Remain on at Ephesus. Why? There's a reason. There's a ministry to fulfill. So that you may instruct certain men not to teach strange doctrines, nor to pay attention to myths and endless genealogies, which give rise to mere speculation, rather than furthering the administration of God, which is by faith. So he says, stay there. Stay there, and I have an assignment for you there. For those of us who aren't going, there's an assignment from God for you to fulfill while you are where you are and where he has set you locally. Okay? And so it's not for the person who is going off into missions in another country or another area or whatever and doing this traveling to look down on the people that are not going. Okay? So that when they come home, you know, it's not, you know, well, I went, everybody should go. No, everybody can't go. Some people have to stay by the stuff to make sure that home base is taken care of. Okay? All right. All right. We went there. Okay. Let's talk about prayer. Important element for those of us who are staying by the stuff. Every evangelistic effort, every ministry flow should be covered and undergirded in prayer. Everything should be covered and undergirded in prayer. So let's take a look at that. Turn to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18. With all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit, and with this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints, and pray on my behalf. He says, Paul says, pray on my behalf. I'm going. I'm traveling out there. He says, pray on my behalf that utterance may be given to me in the opening of my mouth to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel. What if they're not praying for him? He may have a challenge with utterance. But those who are praying for him facilitate the utterance being given to the minister or the missionary in the opening of their mouth to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in proclaiming it, I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. So prayer is important. It is critical to undergirding missionary efforts. Turn to Colossians chapter 4, verse 2. Devote yourselves to prayer. Devote. It's not a passing thing. Devote yourselves to prayer, keeping alert. Prayer is also watching. It's watching in the Spirit. Keeping alert. Jesus told his disciples, pray and watch with me when they were in the garden. So here Paul says, keeping alert in it, with an attitude of thanksgiving, praying at the same time for us as well, that God will open to us a door. Praying that God will open to us a door. So if I'm praying that God will open up a door, what he's saying is that a door is not there yet. If a door was there, I would not be asking you to pray that a door would be open. So he says that God will open to us a door for the word, that we may speak forth the mystery of Christ, for which I have also been in prison, that I may make it clear in the way I ought to speak. He says, pray for me that I can speak and minister and share and impart the way that I am supposed to. Pray that a door would be open for the word to go forth. There's a prayer of evangelism back on the table, and it takes into account this thought, that I have open doors, opportunities to testify of Jesus Christ. We need open doors. So, if you're staying by the stuff, you want to make sure that you're covering in prayer. Okay? What can I do, Brian? I'm not traveling. I'm not going. Are you covering in prayer? Okay? Next thing, let's talk about work. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 28. He who steals must steal no longer. Well, if I'm not stealing, what else am I going to do? But rather, he must labor or work, performing with his own hands what is good. Why? So that he can pay his bills. So that he will have something to give. So that he will have something to share. The one who is going may not have a formal job. They have a ministry job. The ones who have a formal job have something now to share with the one that's going. So when you're working on your job, understand that you are receiving something that you can now, in part, share with the one that's going, as well as pay your bills and take care of other things. But you have to have sharing in mind when you're working the job, that when the increase comes to me, I'm going to share and I'm going to be a part of sending. So he says, performing with his own hands what is good, so that he will have something to share to the one that is in need. Okay? Turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 6. Now we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you keep away from every brother who leads an unruly life and not according to the tradition which you receive from us. For you yourselves know how you ought to follow our example, because we did not act in an undisciplined manner among you, nor did we eat anyone's bread without paying for it. But with labor and hardship, we kept working night and day so that we would not be a burden to any of you. Not because we do not have the right to this, but in order to offer ourselves as a model for you so that you would follow our example. For even when we were with you, we used to give you this order, that if anyone is not willing to work, then he is not to eat either. For we hear that some among you are leading an undisciplined life, doing no work at all, but acting like busybodies. Now, back in those days, and still today, the churches would be involved in distributions to the people in the body. And what you see that in Acts, that's where the first deacons were raised up. People were being missed out in the daily distributions. So we see Paul saying that if they're not doing something in the church, then they should not receive from the church. If they're not contributing something, the church has no obligation to give to them. Okay, so if they don't work, they should not partake of what the church has. That's what the scripture says. I know it's hard to hear sometimes, but that's what the scripture says. Somehow, some way, I should be contributing to my local church that I call myself a member of. Okay? Turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 9. Now, as to the love of the brethren, you have no need for anyone to write to you, for you yourselves are taught by God to love one another. For indeed, you do practice it toward all the brethren who are in Macedonia. But we urge you, brethren, to excel still more and to make it your ambition to lead a quiet life and attend to your own business and work with your hands. What are you doing while you're staying by the stuff? You're working with your hands just as we commanded you, so that you will behave properly toward outsiders and not be in any need. Paul says you want to prevent being in need. He says, get a job. Do something with your hands so that your needs can be taken care of and God can bless you because you're putting your hands to something, and so that you have something to give and something to share. Let's turn to First Timothy chapter 6, verse 17. So we talked about work. We should be covering in prayer. We should be working so that things are taken care of, putting our hands to something for those of us that are able to work, for those of us who have retired and maybe you're not formally working. Guess what? You have four other areas that you can still operate and function in. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17, instruct those who are rich. Now, if you're rich, there you go. Instruct those who are rich. If you are rich, you are planning to be rich. At some point in time, this is for you. Instruct those who are rich in this present world not to be conceited. Well, look what I got. Look at me. Not to be conceited or to fix their hope. To focus on that. To fix their hope on the uncertainty of riches. Riches are uncertain. You may have it one day, you might not have it the next. Something may happen. Stock market may go down. Whatever. But he says not to fix their hope on the uncertainty of riches, but on God. My focus should never be on the money. It should be on God, who richly supplies us with all things to what? Enjoy. So first and foremost, we are giving and investing in what God's doing on the earth. That comes first. And then guess what? God makes sure that we have enough to just enjoy life, to just enjoy certain things while we're staying by the stuff. Okay? It's okay to enjoy things as long as it's prioritized the way it's supposed to be prioritized. Okay? So he says, God richly supplies us with all things to enjoy. Still talking about rich folk. So if you consider yourself a rich folk, or you're planning on going there, you're planning on being one of those 12 that Pastor Jim talked about, This will be you. Instruct them to do good, to be rich in good works, to be generous and ready to share. And I mean give. I have share here, but this is sharing the gospel. Ready to share financially, ready to give financially. That is the word to those who have riches, to those who have wealth. Don't trust in them. Trust God. Don't be conceited. Don't be puffed up. Don't fix your eyes on the riches. Fix your eyes on God and be generous and ready. I'm ready to share. I'm listening to God. I'm listening to the Holy Spirit. There's an opportunity. Oh, God, yeah, give there. Okay. Ready to share. What about this one? Nope, don't give there. Okay, all right. Listening. About there? Yeah, give there. Yeah, give there. So I'm ready. Always at the ready. When you have means, substance, financial wealth, ready to share, okay? We should be doing that if we're staying by the stuff. Okay. Philippians chapter 2, verse 19. But I hope in the Lord to what? To send. Some people get sent. I hope in the Lord to send Timothy to you shortly so that I also may be encouraged when I learn of your condition, for I have no one else of kindred spirit who will genuinely be concerned for your welfare. So Paul is talking about sending Timothy. Some get sent, but he's not sending everybody. He's sending Timothy. That was verse 19, and then skipping down to verse 25, Philippians chapter 2, verse 25. He says, but I thought it necessary to what? Send. Does your Bible say send? Yes. I thought it necessary to send. So now we're sending people. I thought it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother and fellow worker and fellow soldier, who was also your messenger. He is your messenger. But wait, I'm not going. I'm not traveling like him. No, he is your messenger. He is your representative. When he goes, you go. You go with him in spirit. Okay? So he says, who is also your messenger and minister to my need, because he was longing for you all and was distressed because you had heard that he was sick. For indeed he was sick to the point of death, but God had mercy on him. And not on him only, but also on me, so that I would not have sorrow upon sorrow. Therefore, verse 28, I have what? I have sent. So we're sending here. I have sent him all the more eagerly, so that when you see him again, you may rejoice and I may be less concerned about you. Verse 29 says what? Receive him who has been sent. So when God sends somebody here, we receive them because God sent them. Okay? That's what people who are staying by the stuff do. Okay? So it says, receive him then in the Lord with all joy. When they come, be happy. Be joyful. And hold men like him in high regard because he came close to death for the work of Christ, risking his life to complete what was deficient in your service to me. He came close to death, which some missionaries deal with. So when they come home, receive them with joy. Because we're staying by the stuff, taking care of the church, taking care of the people. Okay? All right. Verse 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 10. Now, if Timothy comes, see that he is with you without cause to be afraid, for he is doing the Lord's work, as I also am. So let no one despise him, but what send him on his way in peace, so that he may come to me, for I expect him with the brethren. So again, there's that word send again in the Word of God. Acts chapter 15, verse 1. Some men came down from Judea and began teaching the brethren, unless you are circumcised according to the custom of Moses, you cannot be saved. And when Paul and Barnabas had great dissension and debate with them, the brother determined that Paul and Barnabas and some others of them should go up to Jerusalem. Notice the word some. The brethren determined that Paul, Barnabas, and some others. Not everybody. We're not sending everybody. Paul, Barnabas, and some should go up to Jerusalem to the apostles and elders concerning this issue. Verse 3. Therefore, being sent on their way by the church, those who are staying by the stuff are sending them on their way. They were passing through both Phoenicia and Samaria, describing in detail the conversion of the Gentiles, and were bringing great joy to all the brethren. In verse 4, when they arrived at Jerusalem, they were what? Received. So he's going from one home base to another home base. But they're going, they're traveling. So sending from one area of stuff to another area of stuff. And when they arrived to the other area of stuff, to the other church, they were received by the church and the apostles and the elders, and they reported all that God had done with them. So again, being sent and then being received by those who are staying by the stuff, being received by the church. Okay, again, we're just going through some scriptures here. Stay with me. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 1. Here we're talking about giving. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 1. Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I directed the churches of Galatia, so do you also. On the first day of every week, each one of you is to put aside and save as he may prosper. As he may prosper. As he may prosper. Amen. God's will is for you to prosper and then put some aside so that you can be a part of working with your hands, so that you have something to share, so that you may prosper, or as he may prosper, so that no collections be made when I come. He said, have your offering ready. That's what he said. Have your offering ready. We don't got to cajole anybody. People are ready to give. I've already set it aside. I already put my tithe aside. I put my offering aside at the house. I showed up ready to give. He says, verse 3, when I arrive, whomever you may approve, I will send them with letters to carry your gift to Jerusalem. And it is fitting for me to go also. And if it is fitting for me to go also, they will go with me. But I will come to you after I go through Macedonia, for I am going through Macedonia, and perhaps I will stay with you. Who is he going to stay with? Well, wait, if nobody's at home, he doesn't have anybody to stay with. Some people have to stay home by the stuff. All right. So he says, I will stay with you. If you don't have a house for somebody to stay in, Somebody has to be home by themselves. Somebody has to have a house. Not everybody's going to be traveling. Okay? So it's okay for you to have a house, to have a nice house. Just know what to do with it when ministry comes through. Okay? That you are a good steward over what God has given you. He says, perhaps I will stay with you or even spend the winter. Well, you're staying too long. Wait a second. You coming to stay? Yeah, we'll be there. How long you gonna be here? So even spend the entire winter. Okay. All right. You eat a lot? But guess what? If you're prospering and you have the means to take care of it, it's no problem. God is not interested in taking from you, but equipping you to be able to handle situations like this. And some people will be able to, some people won't. And that'll be fine. But for the rich, command them. Yeah, that's what it said. It said, command them to not focus on their riches, but on God, and to be ready at every opportunity to give and to be generous. That's what the Bible says. Okay? So he says, or even spend the winter so that you may send me, so that Paul says that you may send me on my way wherever I may go. Not all of us are a part of wherever I may go. We are doing the sending. But Paul says, I want the church to be able to send me, to push me out. Those who are staying by the stuff have to send people out, ready to go, equipment, supplies, needs, money, whatever it is, to send them out. And it's not one person. It's all of us doing our part, doing our part. God's not looking for inequality. He's looking for everybody to do their part in the giving and the sending the people out. Everybody has a part. God just says, what have I called you to do? What is your part? Fulfill your ministry, and that'll be fine. If everybody does their part, everything will be taken care of. Okay? So I just want to say, Lord, what is my part? I'm doing my part. I don't feel guilty because my part's not somebody else's part. I got peace with God about what my part is. I'm going to do my part, and if I have a heart for this and I'm genuinely listening to God, my part will be what God wants it to be, and everybody else's part will be what God wants it to be, and all those parts coming together can take care of a need. Amen. Right? Can send somebody out. All right? But some people might need to stay the whole winter. It's just saying. Okay? So he says, wherever I may go, for I do not wish to see you now just in passing. He said, I don't want to just do a drive-by. I want to stay with y'all for a while to receive from you. He said, I don't want to see you just in passing, for I hope to remain with you for some time so that we may have missionaries or other ministers who come, not necessarily to your house, but to the church. They have their own things taken care of. They may come to the church and hang out with us for a while. They may want to come, and it says, for I hope to remain with you for some time. Well, how long are they going to be here? They'll be here for some time. Whatever season that is that God has given them, they will be here for some time. If the Lord permits. Isn't that what your verse says? If the Lord permits. If the Lord permits. This is all about God's will and what God wants. Okay? If the Lord permits. Not if I permit, but if the Lord permits. So you have to ask yourself, how long does God have them here? Not how long do I want them to be here, right? How long does God have them here? Okay, to hear that and say, okay, God says this season, it won't be shorter, it won't be longer, it'll be this season because it's as the Lord permits, okay? But I will remain in Ephesus until Pentecost, for a wide door, there's that door again, for a wide door for effective service or ministry has opened up to me, and there are many adversaries. Okay? So some go, some send, some stay by the stuff and make sure the church and the people are taken care of. All right, last few scriptures here. Titus chapter 3. Verse 12. When I send, there's that word again, when I send Artemis or Tychius to you, make every effort to come to me at Nicopolis, for I have decided to spend the winter. What's this winter thing? Paul said, I decided to spend the winters with y'all. I have decided to spend the winter there. Diligently help Zenas, the lawyer. Some people stand by the stuff are lawyers. Not everybody is a minister. What does it say in verse 13? Diligently help Zenas, the lawyer. This could be the doctor. This could be the mechanic. We're all putting our hands to something in our career. We just have to have the right perspective as to why we're doing it. Okay? It's not bad to have a career, to be able to work with your hand so that you can give, so you can have something to give, because you're putting your hands to something in your career and to grow in your career and succeed in your career or your business. Just understand why you're doing it and what the purpose of it's for. It's not so that you can fix your hope on that, but so that you can do what God has called you to do and do the will of God. Always, if you are rich, you plan to be rich, always, always have that focus, okay? That this success on the job is for a God kingdom purpose, not so I can be conceited, as the verse we just read, and say, look at me, okay? You have to be able to handle the wealth. You have to be able to handle prosperity in a godly way with a godly attitude. Okay. We went there. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 3. My defense to those who examine me is this. Do we not have a right to eat and drink? Do we not have a right to take along a believing wife, even as the rest of the apostles and the brothers of the Lord and Cephas? Or do only Barnabas and I, this is Paul talking, do only Barnabas and I not have a right to refrain from working? He's saying all the other apostles, they're focusing on the ministry and letting the churches support them. Paul says, me and Barnabas are actually working while we're ministering. And that was their choice to do that. But he says, we do have a right to refrain from working, because nobody goes to battle at their own expense. They're sent. Okay? So he says, verse 7, who at any time serves as a soldier at his own expense? Who plants a vineyard, in context, who plants a church and does not eat the fruit of that church? So if the church is prospering, the person that planted it should be able to prosper with the church financially. Who tends a flock and does not use the milk of the flock, the supplies of the flock, the supplies of the church? Okay? I am not speaking these things according to human judgment, am I? Or does not the law also say these things? For it is written in the law of Moses, you shall not muzzle the ox while it is threshing, while it is ministering. The context is, while the minister is ministering, let them partake on a regular basis of the monies, the finances, the supplies, the needs, the things that the church has, if they are ministering, if their full-time focus is on the work of the ministry. It's okay to eat from that supply if they are a part of a house and that house is sending them. It's okay for them to eat from that. Okay, so he says, who tends a flock and does not use the milk of that flock? So think about pastors, full-time pastors. Does a pastor have a right to eat from the flock?
Yes.
The financial flock?
Yes.
That he or she is tending?
Yes.
Yes. They have a right, a biblical right to eat from that flock. Okay? So some pastors take a salary, some of them don't. But whatever the thing, they have a right to eat from that flock. He says in verse 8, I am not, no, we already read that. Verse 9, for it is written in the law of Moses, you shall not muzzle the ox while he is threshing. God is not concerned about oxen, is he? Or is he speaking altogether for our sake? Yes, for our sake it is written, because the plowman ought to plow in hope that the thresher and the thresher to thresh in hope of sharing the crops, the financial harvest. For if we sowed spiritual things in you, is it too much? This is your Bible. Is it too much if we reap material things from you? Those who are staying by the stuff many times have more material things than the one that's going. The one that's going has a right, if they're hooked up with that house, to receive some of the material things that the church has. That's your Bible. Is it too much if we reap material things from you? If others share the right over you, do we not more? Nevertheless, we did not lord it over you or use this right. But we endure all things, so that we will not cause hindrance to the gospel of Christ. Do you not know that those who perform sacred sacrifices eat the food of the temple, and those who attend regularly to the altar have their share from the altar? So also the Lord, listen to this, verse 14, also the Lord, might I say the Lord, the Lord directed those who proclaim the gospel to get their living from the gospel. If you proclaim the gospel full time, that is your focus. You don't have a natural job. You should be able to reap from the field that you're sowing in. You should be able to reap financially from that field. That's your Bible, okay? Now, of course, we all want to be led by the Spirit in doing this, but we have the scripture here. And God will direct us where and how to do that and apply that in different situations. But this is the framework that God set up of how those who are staying by the stuff are to take care of those who are traveling, those who are coming and going and coming and going, or those who have a particular ministry in a certain sphere of influence, too. It applies there because they're going there, even if it's only 10 miles down the street. It applies to both those who are going out to minister from the house. Okay, but the house has got to be taken care of. The people have to be fed. The church has to be cleaned. Things at the house have to be taken care of. If everybody just goes, when we come back, no telling what the house is going to look like. Somebody has to stay by the stuff and take care of the house and pray and work a job and give and share the gospel in their own sphere of influence, raise their kids, share the gospel at home with your kids. That's your first place. Right, and then let it go out from there. So, that's it. That's the word for today. Ties a little bit into evangelism, but I think it's this is kind of been rolling around in my spirit, wanted to get it out there. But I think it's very, very timely. Not just with Kempo and KB and KK or some of the things we have going on now, but for what's coming too, right? We have to understand that I don't feel guilty because God has not called or given me the grace or a release to go. But if I'm staying by the stuff, I have an obligation according to the word to be a part, whether I'm praying and I'm undergirding in prayer and I'm being alert in prayer, listen to the Holy Spirit in prayer as to what needs to be prayed for and how it needs to be prayed, or I'm giving, right? I'm giving financially if I have to give. If I don't have finances to give, I can't give, right? But for those of us who do, some of you may give. There's a gift of giving in the Bible.
Yes.
Okay? So some of you may give. Some of you may be working a job so that you have something to give. If it's a dollar or if it's $1 million, you have something to do your part in giving. Some of you, look, I'm not going to Mexico, but, you know, I'm going to my street and I know my neighbor and I can share there and I can encourage people that I see at the grocery store, and I can give somebody a hug. I can share where I am. I may not be traveling 1,000 miles, but I'm here because I'm staying by the stuff. Amen? Amen. Brother Damon?
Praise God. That's an awesome word, brother. Thank you for that. I just wanted to give you an example of how that is so effective, and it's something that we do as a body, but I want to encourage us as we do it, and I'm going to give you an example. Many times when I travel with zero gravity, a lot of times, and this has happened all the time, but I notice in this specific area, sometimes we'll go to a city or an event that a church or a group of churches are hosting, and someone in that church or the church themselves, rather than put us in a hotel, they give us somebody's house, like literally, like we stay in that house. That provides an opportunity for us to pray and do the things that we need to do. Rather, you know how the craziness of a hotel, you don't really have that opportunity. But to have a house where the team is assembled, where we can pray and see God. And then throughout the time, wherever we're there for the weekend or several days, there's a consistent group of people who are bringing us breakfast, lunch, and dinner from that church. Almost, and I was just thinking, as Brother Brian was sharing, almost every time in those instances, God moves incredibly because of the love that that body had in providing a place. They're hooked up. They're hooked up with the idea of knowing. And so I'd say even when we bring guest ministers, let's continue that vein, because whatever God is going to do through them, we provided that platform. And giving them, like he said, when Brother Brad, whoever it is, we provided that opportunity for them to be refreshed as they come. And when they give out, whatever is shared, whatever goes forth, we have a part in that. So I just wanted to give that example, because it's truly not only the sending, but also how we receive those who God brings here. Amen.
Amen. Praise God. Good word, brother. We appreciate it. I would remind you that, you know, he just read some scripture that said you don't muzzle the ox as he's treading the, or threshing, not calling him an ox, but Brother Brian is worthy of material. He ministered to us in spiritual things, so he is worthy of our material blessing to him. So we want to be a blessing to him this morning. After we're dismissed, or even now if you want to, you can be a blessing to Brother Brian. Use this bucket over here. I would like to recognize the Pink Knees this morning, the pastor and his lovely bride, who happens to be Damon's folks. Appreciate you coming in. Good to see you again. Good to see you again. We honor you this morning. I have a whole lot of stuff to say, but I'm not going to say it, other than I just want to remind you of next week. We want to see everybody. This is not a if you or anybody who. It's you. It's the entire body. We would like to see you next Sunday evening. Not so much as a business meeting, but we would like to keep everybody updated on what is happening in the house, what we've got planned, what's coming up, and what God is doing among us. We had a great meeting yesterday with all the ministers, and I believe there's some things that God has for us that are, it's exciting. So please be here next Sunday night. Of course, we have Wednesday and then Sunday morning. But please come and be a part of your church. Amen? Hallelujah. Stand with me. Hallelujah. Father, we just thank you for your goodness and mercy. We thank you for your loving kindness and your Holy Spirit that leads us and guides us always in truth, triumph, and victory. And Father, we thank you for the truth that we heard this morning because we know it came from your word. We know it is truth. And I thank you, Father, that you said that if we would know the truth, that it would set us free. So I thank you, Father, for the freedom that we have received, the freedom that we can access because the truth that has been delivered to us this morning. Father, I thank you for these people that have gathered here, and I thank you for your presence, for your anointing, for your spirit. And I thank you, Father, that as we join ourselves together, as we fellowship with one another on this beautiful day, I thank you, Father God, that you are mending our hearts, that you're making us one before you and in you. I thank you, Father. Blessed be your name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I just feel like we just need to spend just a few minutes, maybe just a very short of just praying in the Spirit. Let's just allow the Holy Spirit to use your tongue to release things into the earth. Hallelujah. Setur rebekesh dia rakabunda. Mendore beneside de casa rabatus torrekitise de la lamata. Mandore berrekidi di ole la massa tararara rabokurro renda. Kinder rostor rakaderi site ele mondo o raba rividi bea site le la 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 ka. Shatore re 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 basin de re re mondo ro rekiti. Ete le la la basa tur batide ene maka yene la kuhundo rakaraketi. Belo le le la masanda ramashta re di 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 esi re re ba. Serroba rekidi re era ma rosso rekiti si re re na. Mando rebedi da da andu reke te senana kayinde lele ke debi et de bodo sto rengere ke dia ka sarro lele ke da patta pa haya da corrondo la marromande de de e ramando ko de 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 ele ke de ke di birra va se dorrebbe si de de la bassata rabasse ki de 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 ba mando re ke de enana da bashon durro do re ti se torre batteria si de de la ka Sharrobo sondorre che remanda a rondo re ele menna macul ed e borro borre che stiri di ete costruttore. Sa dorre berra matara la casciarra de se di de 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 mondo ropai. Se de la macorrenge a corro ha maharmeni anele mosso dorre chise. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Now let's lift a shout of praise to our Father God.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, mighty God. Praise you, mighty God. You may say, Pastor Richard, what did that have? What did we accomplish right then? I don't know. But the Spirit knows. And I believe Pastor always used to say, it was Michelle's dad always used to say that things are different in the earth, or things will be different in the earth tomorrow because we prayed today. Amen. That should always be your mindset. Things will be different tomorrow because we pray today, or it even may be different this afternoon. When we yield to the Holy Spirit and we pray, we're speaking things into the earth that otherwise may not have the authority or have the release. But as we release it through the Spirit, because we have the authority in the earth. Yes. Because God gave it to us in Genesis 1:26. As we release it, now it is legal. Now it can be done. He always uses his people to decree and declare his will into the earth. Hallelujah. One more time, one short praise.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, God.
Thank you, Father. You are awesome, Lord. You are wonderful, Lord. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Thank hallelujah. You, Lord. Hallelujah.
Praise you, Father. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Well, I call you blessed. I say that you are taught of the Lord, and great is your peace and undisturbed composure, that no weapon formed against you prospers, but every tongue that would rise against you in judgment is cursed and cast down, and it is void of effect in your life because you are the children of the Most High God. I say that you are surrounded by favor, the favor of God Himself, and that everywhere you go, you are the light shining in the darkness. You are the sweet-smelling aroma of His presence everywhere. And everything you put your hand to prospers and is successful. You are a light in the restaurants. You are a light in the office place. You are a light in the marketplace. You are a light in your community. Go and shine for the kingdom of God. Amen. You are dismissed. Shake somebody's hand. Fellowship for a little bit. Go find some dead cow or something to eat.